if something ever happens to Instagram or Facebook, or even if there's a glitch with social media on the day you're launching a collection or whatever, like, you got your email list. They're your people, and you can send them what you need to send them to make them aware of what's going on.
Welcome to the Passionate Painter Podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Italia Carlson. Whether your art is a full-time career or your side gig, if you are passionate about creating art, this podcast is for you. Don't worry about taking notes. I'll do that for you. And you can find them at PassionatePainterPodcast.com. Welcome to part two of my interview in progress with American painter Amy Peterman. If you haven't yet listened to part one, I recommend you go back and listen to that first. To hear Amy's bio and learn about her background, her process, making time for her art, her biggest challenge, and so much more. You can find it at PassionatePainterPodcast.com/episode83. I'm happy to announce, as promised, in addition to my full master class, The Portrait Code, 7 new Spotlight courses are now available for targeted training in design, composition, perspective, color theory, and anatomy, as well as a standalone portrait painting demonstration. I've had requests for those who only want the targeted training to pull these out of the masterclass so that they can be available individually if desired. As always, they're available at incredible prices because I want them to be accessible. You can check them out and see course content by going to PassionatePainterAcademy.com.
So how often do you complete a painting?
It depends on the time of year. Right now, I'm going to be coming into probably, hopefully, over the next 2 weeks where I'm going to be producing several paintings. I have an art fair coming up at the beginning of October, and so I need to have a few more paintings to bring along. So yeah, it just depends on, I think, the season that I'm in. And then after that show, I'll probably be starting, I paint little hand-painted Christmas ornaments. And so I'm probably going to start thinking about that and moving into that. So yeah, I guess I don't really know how often I complete a painting.
On your website, just looking through the website, it looks like, you know, the paintings are just selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, you know? This has definitely been a different year. I did super well last year. This year has been different, but I think part of it is I have done some larger paintings and I have raised my prices a little bit. So, you know, there's some higher price points there that people have to kind of think about before they want to commit. So things have been going really well so far.
Would you say that you sell the majority of your paintings then directly from your website, or do you have a gallery now?
I just recently have 3 paintings in our local art center in their sales gallery. But other than that, I have mostly sold at art fairs. And then I guess I would say probably half and half, half on my website and half are in-person events.
So is it just people finding you? Are you advertising on Facebook, or is it when you send a blast on your email list?
Right. Yeah. I do the Instagram. I do the email list. I feel like the email list is such a good thing to have. I keep hearing other artists talk about, you know, you need to build your email list because if something ever happens to Instagram or Facebook, or even if there's a glitch with social media on the day you're launching a collection or whatever, like, you got your email list. They're your people, and you can send them what you need to send them to make them aware of what's going on. So yeah, my email list, it's not huge, but you don't need a ton of people either. You find the people that connect with you and connect with your art, they're going to be loyal. I've had several in my email list that have been repeat buyers. And every time I launch something like the ornaments or my calendar or, you know, a new collection, I usually get a purchase from each one of them. So some of those repeat buyers. So yeah.
So do you have a business plan for your fine art area of your business now? I know you have the digital design. Do you actually have like a set kind of idea of how you plan to move the business forward, what you're aiming for in the next, say, 6 months, a year, 5 years?
I really don't have a business, like a official business plan. I think that's something I need to work on. But I do like to set goals and I like to dream. And so I do have a dream of maybe someday having a space where I would have a larger studio, possibly a gallery, possibly space to hold classes or workshops or something like that. So I just need to work towards building up that cash flow. And so I'm still trying to figure that out. So yeah, I probably need to do a little more research on what could be my business plan.
Do you find that doing the fairs is difficult regarding overhead and everything that's involved? Do you frame everything or are you using Cradle canvases? As far as covering yourself before the work is sold, have you gotten pushback from your family? I know it's always a balance with, you know, the spouse maybe that goes, well, you know, we're not selling those yet and you want to buy this over here for the studio, or like, how is that all working as far as the way that you're selling a lot of times being physically at fairs?
Yeah, that's something I'm still figuring out too. Last year, my two fairs, I didn't have a lot of pieces framed. And right now I'm kind of keeping it to like two or three fairs a year. I think for me, I feel like that's manageable time-wise, financially, and even like the fairs that I have chosen to participate in have been fairly local so that I haven't had a lot of like overhead cost. It's always nice when you can do a fair and you can sleep in your own bed the night before. So this year I framed quite a few of my pieces. So I'm still trying to figure that out, whether or not I should be doing that or whether I should leave most of them unframed. I love the frames. I feel like it just elevates the work and it makes everything look very cohesive within the booth. But I use maple frames and some people don't like maple frames. So yeah, I'm just kind of figuring that out yet too. It may change next year.
Where do you get your frames?
I order them. They're the Ampersand brand frames, the floater frames. I buy them from Blick or Jerry's Artorama, and they're beautiful frames. They're such good quality and they work really well with the panels that I use. So
yeah, it's good. I like to ask people how they are setting themselves up and covering things like overhead and, you know, in general, I mean, because it's a reality that depending on how you're going about selling your work, you're either going to be paying for, well, most of us, even if we're selling in person, do have a website these days, but you're going to be paying for web services and domains or online advertising, or you're going to be paying for booth space. So people like to definitely hear those tricks of what's working for you, since you're definitely, you know, having the success. I mean, you're clearly succeeding at what you're doing, and it's wonderful to see.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. So what about prints now? Has selling your prints worked well for you? Do you find that they're helpful to have when you sell in person at the art shows? And what platform are you using to make the prints? It looks like you're actually doing the shipping yourself.
Yeah, I definitely have sold more prints in person than I have on my website. And I think that's partly the reason why I haven't sold a lot off my website is I don't talk about them enough. I really need to be talking about them more. I use a source out of Traverse City, Michigan, and they actually capture my artwork for me. And then they print on beautiful paper and beautiful canvas. And you can barely tell the difference between the original and the print. Everything they do is archival inks, archival surfaces. So it's all museum quality. And I like that I'm using a local Northern Michigan business.
Give them a plug.
I'm all about, they are called Veda Color, VADA, and they're out of Traverse City, Michigan. And they do amazing work and they've been so good to me.
So you pay ahead of time for that, or you get it done as people order it? Is it on demand?
So I do have it set up on my website where I order it when they purchase it on the website. I say, you know, please allow 2 to 3 weeks because these are printed when they're ordered. And then I either will go and pick them up or have them shipped to me so that I can hand sign them and title them. And then I ship them out in my pretty packaging. And
how do you do your packaging?
I use a lot of like craft surfaces. So like craft boxes, craft paper, craft, like crinkly craft paper that's all shredded up. And then I have some really beautiful recycled sari ribbon that I use to tie around things. And I have some stickers that I've had printed with some of my art on it. And I put that on the box. And I have some little, pretty much every person that places an order with me will get, I have a little sticker that I've designed and that's in the shape of Michigan. And it has my art on it. So that's a really fun thing to give to people, a little freebie or a little thank you for purchasing from me. If you purchase an original piece of art from me, I usually give out a postcard that has like a discount code. If they want to go to my website and order a print, they can get the discount on that. So yeah, so I have a fun little way of packaging everything up.
And where do you get your boxes then to actually package your paintings so that it's all, you know, nice and professional looking, and you pre-order boxes or?
Mm-hmm. Mostly just Amazon. So I have probably a couple different sizes of boxes that I use. And then for larger things, I do repurpose and recycle, you know, Amazon boxes or Blick boxes because it's good. It's good to reuse.
It is. It is. It's good. And it's interesting to hear how, again, different people set up the logistics. So thank you for sharing that. Now, when you go to an art show, how do you estimate how many prints, say, to make ahead of time? Because you'd have to have those pre-printed and brought with you, right? Are they matted? Or are they just, how does that work?
I usually just pick maybe 8 or so images that I would like to bring and maybe get 2 or 3 of each to bring along, maybe in each size. I usually just keep it to a couple different sizes. This year I brought with me to 2 of my shows some of my larger prints, but I had them matted in a way that they would fit into like a 16 by 20 frame. I might do that more often, or at least format my artwork, my prints a little differently so that they're easy to pop in a frame or easy to pop in like something that's a standard size. So several of my prints are square, which are, it's hard to find standard size frames for. So that might evolve a little bit in the future too on how I package and get those set up for people so that it can be easy for them when they get it home.
Yeah, I know that the struggle definitely between deciding whether you should go with a square size or something that is not a standard, and that tug of war between what you envision and what is more practical for the buyer. And it depends on your market, really. If your market has a different budget, then you may have a series of standard sizes. So they're all different angles that you can utilize to help your buyer along. So I like that concept.
For sure. For sure. And like prints are a great way for people to start collecting art. Like it's an attainable way. And I love that, like, if you're purchasing a print from me, it's not like what you can go and buy one of the big box stores. This is going to stand the test of time. So it's like the next best thing to having an original.
So we were talking about selling prints online.
Yes.
And I would love for you to tell me more about the platform that you use to sell your prints and how that works for you.
So I sell them on my website. I have a Squarespace website. And I'll be honest, I don't sell a ton of prints on my website, but I think that's only because I don't talk about them enough. So I have goals in the future to be talking about them more, just marketing them more. I'm also exploring the possibility of putting them on Etsy. I have an artist coach that I've been working with, and she does very well with her prints on Etsy. And so she's been encouraging me to try that and see if that helps my sales. The other couple of ways that I sell my prints, you know, I sell them at my shows in person, and they have done fairly well at my in-person events. But I also have a town or a shop in town locally that approached me that I sell wholesale to her. and they've done well at her shop. And so that's another, it's a beautiful shop in Petoskey, Michigan. If you're ever in Petoskey, it's Flora Bay Home. So I think my prints fit really well there. And that's just been a really, another way that I've been able to make a little bit of passive income.
So Flora Bay, so we're going to put the link to that on the show notes. And can you tell us just like how they connected with you?
Yeah, it was actually beautiful the way it happened. It was kind of organic. I think it was right before she opened, she must have had like a little soft opening, and my daughter went in and checked it out. We just were like, this is such a cool store. And we got to chatting with her, and she's a beautiful person, beautiful personality. And so we just, you know, I didn't say anything to her about being an artist. I kind of had it in the back of my head a little bit that like, ooh, maybe in the future, but didn't say anything about that. And later that day when I got home, I looked her up on Instagram and followed her, and I left a comment and just said, you know, my daughter and I were so glad to meet you, and your store is beautiful. You know, I hope you have much success. And so by doing that, then she looked at my Instagram and then she sent me a message and she's like, I would love to talk about having some of your artwork in my shop. So it was great. And then I think it was like the following week, we sat down and we talked about what that would look like, because I had never done that before. And she's been very gracious and very honest with me, like, you know, about my pricing. And so it's been a really great way to kind of start into that wholesale world.
Did she help you change your pricing, adapt your pricing to be in the shop?
A little bit. She since now carries a couple other artists' work. And so I could kind of see where how they were pricing their work as well. And, you know, and I kind of said to her, I might need to raise my prices a little bit. And she's like, for sure you should. Yeah. So she's been very encouraging in that respect. You know, if listeners aren't familiar with the wholesale model, you basically want to like take what your cost is to produce your product, double that, and that's wholesale price. And then double that again, and that's your retail. So I probably don't follow that to a T. I'm probably maybe a little lower than that price, but it's close to that. So I'm, you know, I just want to make sure that it's worth my while. I'm not making as much as I would if I were selling it directly to the collector in person, but it's a good way to get my work out there and people are seeing it. And she actually, I have to get a journal to her. She said the other day, you know, you should have some kind of book in here that people could write their name and email address down in case they want to be on your email list or whatever. So that's really great too, that she's supportive in that way and is willing to do that for me. So
I guess you're not really working in commission. So you're working your own reference. So you don't have to worry about the licensing thing as far as getting someone to sign off on an original for the purposes of reselling. That's just part of the deal.
I have done commission work, and I have it in my commission contract or commission agreement that I do own the rights to the art. Even though I've painted this for you and you're going to be hanging it in your home, I still have the rights to it. So I do have one painting that I did for my neighbor that turned out beautifully, and I knew people would love it. And so I made sure to get a capture of it. And I bring canvas prints of that one to my shows, and people love it and buy it. So.
Have you had anybody who says they just want to have the only copy?
I have not yet.
That's good.
So, and I think, you know, how to approach that probably would be, well, then you might have to pay a little bit more for it, or I'm not really sure.
You have an option or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just wondering, I would think unless it was a commission, like when I do commission work, again, it depends on what it is, but pet portraits especially, it's nice to have them sign off that they understand that, you know, I have the rights to all of my paintings. I have the rights to use the work for promotion, but especially the pet portraits, sometimes people will see a similar, they'll see the same breed and say, that looks like my dog, and they want a print. So,
yeah.
So in looking at, we talked about social media and you use primarily Instagram for that. Tell me what your approach is for where you put your time and whether or not you do any advertising.
Yeah, I try to fit social media in just wherever I can. I try not to think too much about it because it can be really overwhelming. And like Instagram's whole push for like reels and that it's kind of moving to video and not so much still photos. I try not to worry about that too much. I try to do the reels. They're fun. That's another thing I had to kind of get out of my comfort zone. But Instagram isn't the be all end all either. I think there's many ways to reach people. For me, I actually feel like the in-person things that I've done have been like the best way for me to get collectors, because I think they have a better opportunity to really connect with you as a person and connect with the art, and you have a chance to have a conversation about the work and maybe not so much on Instagram or, you know, any type of social media. I just actually did an in-person event last night for our town. They had, it was called Art Walk. And so the art center in town asked me to hang out downtown for a couple hours and paint. And it was so fun. And I feel like I met a lot of people who are potential collectors in the future.
I like that model, incorporating the in-person paintings. A lot of artists I know have success with that in person, including that as an element of their plan. You know, they've got their website and they've got their other promotions, but they do like to show up in person and let people get close to them and see what they're doing. And, you know, people are curious. They want to know what's going on.
For sure. And, you know, a lot of people have stories about, especially when doing, you know, Northern Michigan scenery. Last night I was painting Petoskey State Park. And a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, that looks familiar. Oh my gosh, is that Petoskey State Park? And oh my gosh, I love Petoskey State Park. It's like my favorite place. And, you know, so it's really fun to connect with people in that way.
I think so too. And did you say you're doing any advertising on social, or you're not right now?
I am not. I did try, I think I did one paid ad or did set like a really small budget on Pinterest at one point, and it didn't go anywhere. But that's, Pinterest is what I've heard is kind of like the long game. Like you have to keep, So I'm working at that. But I haven't paid for advertising on Instagram yet. I don't know if it's something I should try or not.
I don't know. I haven't done, well, that's not true. Wherever I've done Facebook ads, because Facebook owns Instagram, whenever you do your Facebook ad, you can have the option to also put it out on Instagram. And so I just include both. But it's kind of a toss-up. I'm still experimenting with it. I believe in experimenting and curiosity, but definitely with a budget and tracking it so that you know what works and you're not shooting in the dark. Because we don't want to throw, you know, good money after bad if something's not working. How do you figure out? I know you've got your freelance business, as do I, doing graphic design and multimedia and all the things. How do you figure out how to partition your time so that you can have income while you're building work to sell, and then you have enough time to paint and have enough work to sell?
Oh, I wish I had all the answers for that. It's tricky. I think I had mentioned before, like, I almost kind of have to schedule in time to do the art. And I know I need to be better too about like not wasting time, like we need to be on social media because we need to promote ourselves and see what other people are doing. But it's that balance of don't spend too much time on social media because there's so many other things you could be doing. So yeah, I just think, you know, trying to schedule in the time, kind of looking at my week and looking at, okay, what's my graphic design load this week? What needs to be done this week? And then, you know, what also needs to be done in the painting world, and just trying to find a good balance and schedule it out.
So it is, it's always a juggle, and life is messy. You know, people can have all the planners they want. I'm surrounded by planners, but the reality is messy. So, but that's, you know, you can't wait till you get there one day. It's a process. So I get what you're saying. Since a lot of it is just, I think, muddling through when you have a greater goal and you have, okay, I have my pay job, and then I've got this goal I want to do with my art, which is more of an ambition. One of the things I wanted to ask you, you mentioned working with a coach, which I think is a great idea for the people that have the time and the money to do it. How did you find a coach? How did you determine you needed one? How do you figure out which coach is right for you, which one you can afford. Tell me about finding a coach as an artist.
So when I first kind of dove back into painting, a friend of mine recommended a group. It's headed up by Emily Jefford. She's an amazing artist. I think she lives in North Carolina. She has a very large online community of artists, and she has a membership. The group is called The Collective. And so that is how I kind of started out, like finding a community. And it's like a monthly fee to be a part of that, but you get teaching from her. She does all these videos on pricing your artwork and setting up your website, shipping your work. Like she shares everything so that you don't have to struggle so much with it. And then she has like an online community where you can go in and ask other artists, you know, I'm looking to do this. Like, what have you guys done? Or what do you think about this? Or can you critique this piece for me? It was really great for the time that I did it. It's a large community, which was really great to begin with. But I kind of got to the point where I felt like I wanted something a little smaller and a little more personal. And I kind of stumbled across her. I follow Matt Tommy Instagram, and I love what he has to say. He's so passionate about helping artists. And I think through following him, I found another artist. Her name's Maria Morris. And love her work. And I just felt kind of a connection to her. And earlier this year, she opened up an artist coaching membership. So I thought, well, okay, this might be the next thing. And she's been great. She's been very encouraging. I've been able to do a couple of one-on-one Zooms with her. And she's really great to like, look at my website, look at my Instagram and kind of give me tips on, you know, maybe you could do this or why don't you try this? So that's been really great. Just kind of having somebody you can go to in a community that you can ask questions and bounce ideas off of. And I think it's very vital for artists to have community.
I think so too. I think it's really important for us to stay connected with each other, because creativity, I think, is connected to that kind of soul connection. You know, I think there's an energy there that when we're isolated, we really tend to flounder.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, artists are, we're a little bit fragile.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, you know, and I think sometimes we can, you know, if things aren't going a certain way, sometimes we can be like, oh, okay. You get a little discouraged sometimes. And yeah. So I think having that community to kind of encourage one another and be like, hey, don't give up. Like, you just need to keep going and, you know, maybe look at it from a different perspective. Yeah, that's been really, really great. So
you think there'll be a community in your future for you?
You know, I haven't even thought about that. I don't know. We'll see.
Now you
know, I'm open to whatever God wants to bring my way and whatever he wants me to do. So we'll see.
Wonderful. I absolutely love your work. I want to, I'll be showing your work on your show notes page. We'll be pointing people to your website and they'll be able to see all the ways to contact you. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me. I would love for you to wrap us up by giving our listeners your best advice on what artists can do who want to start making money selling their art.
Well, I think I would just say, you know, put yourself out there. And show people how much you love it, because I think that's contagious. Like if what you do, what you create brings you joy and you are showing people that and you're sharing it with them, it makes them want it too. And it makes them, I don't know, they just connect with you and then they want the art. They want it for their home and they want that beauty. So yeah, just like get out of your comfort zone, try new things. You know, you can try something and if you don't like it, you don't have to do it again. That's kind of how I approached doing art fairs. I really kind of had this mindset of, I don't think I want to do art fairs. I don't know. It's, you know, a lot of prep work and it's, you know, going to take precious time away from our summer, you know, the things we like to do in the summer. But I was like, you know what, I'm just going to try it. And now I love it. And I'm glad I did it. So I probably will keep doing it. So yeah. So just try new things and believe in yourself, believe in your work. And be confident in what you're doing, because that will show too. And don't be afraid.
This wraps up my interview with American painter, Amy Peterman. Be sure to check out Amy's work and get her contact information in the show notes for this episode at passionatepainterpodcast.com/episode84. Don't forget that in addition to my full masterclass, The Portrait Code, there are now 7 standalone spotlight classes for targeted training in design, composition, perspective, color theory, and anatomy, as well as a standalone portrait painting demonstration. Something for everyone. You can check them all out at passionatepainteracademy.com. Until next time, go make something.